class before, I'll explain again. You know, it's not my favorite thing to particularly use a curriculum that has little blanks for you to fill in. And the main reason for that is because that means I have to stick to at least some of it, and I hate doing that. It feels like a little bit of a handcuff, but I do think the notes are important. They're good, and there are things you can take home with you. That's part of the reason why we do it. I know lots of churches, lots of pastors like that, but there's a lot of verses in these notes, a lot of good things that are there. And so to just go overview real quickly, we're going to be in Ephesians chapter number 4. If you have your Bible, Ephesians chapter number 4. For you that was not here last time, we're going to go through the first few slides pretty quickly, so you might not get a chance to write them all down. But it's talking about communication. And I know what some people might say, well, I'm not married, or I don't want to be part of a marriage class, those type of things. You know, it's applicable to most people, number one. Number two, these are all biblical principles, and these biblical principles are things that can help us. Boy, how we communicate with others is so important. And same thing, I'll reiterate what we said a few weeks ago was, we can be kind to so many people. I don't have many people in this room that's ever said really a harsh word to me. And I've heard people be kind. I've heard people be generous. I heard people be uplifting and encouraging, ministering, using their mouths to minister, to uplift people. But oftentimes inside our homes, inside our marriages, it's just completely different. Oftentimes inside our marriages, it's not encouraging and uplifting. It can be something that is a challenge. And sometimes there's ugliness. And the way that the curriculum put this and the idea of the series talking about it's a journey. And it's not just a destination, it's a journey. And in our walk with the Lord, it's someday we're going to end up in heaven, but we should enjoy the journey while we get there. And the wedding day was not just the destination, it was just the beginning. And we're continually on this journey. So when they use little illustrations like a two-lane highway, the thought there is communication goes two different ways. Sometimes in couples, there are some that like to encourage, like talking, and sometimes the other person doesn't like to talk much. Sometimes when there's a problem inside the house and you want to figure out what's going on, figure out what's wrong, some people want to talk, the other person wants to clam up. Communication is important, and they give the illustration of the traffic jam. If you don't have good communication and you're stuck in a traffic jam, your marriage is not going very far. It's not ending up where God wants it to be. But if you have a two-lane highway and both people are communicating, you can be moving forward in your marriage the whole entire time. So here's some of the reminders that we learned a few weeks ago. They give the illustration of guardrails and the idea that there's guardrails we should set up in our marriage. So that way we make sure that if we're going off the wrong way, or we're heading the wrong pathway, or we're going into the other lane. You think about it, if it's a two-lane highway, sometimes it's major highways. If you fall asleep at nighttime and you start to head over to the wrong side, when you're supposed to go south and other people are going north, there's guardrails there. It stops us. And these are some of the guardrails that had it. And we're going to go through these quickly. The first one was a guardrail of truth. That's a guardrail of truth. I'm sure these are in your notes there. If you have them from last time, if not, you can write them down quickly. It's the idea that we should be truthful and honest with our mates. Not just with our mates, with everyone. But if for some reason in your marriage, if you're having to have a secret, or you're trying to show something and hide something, there's a problem. And there's something that takes it there. So there should be no secrets. Obviously, if you're trying to plan a special occasion, that's one thing. We're not talking about that. We're talking about sin in our life that we try to hide from the other person because we don't think they can handle it, or because of the repercussions of it. And if someone is coming to you with an honest and open heart, repenting, saying, I don't want to do this anymore, there's forgiveness that's there. Now, if you go to your husband or wife and say, I'm doing this and I'm not getting it right, but I don't want to keep it a secret anymore, then there's a problem. Also, there's the idea of safe sharing and the idea that different people respond to different things different ways. Sometimes husbands do not communicate as well as because they don't really want everything to be published everywhere. It's jokingly, I've heard husbands say, all you got to do is tell my wife, then half the church would know. And it's the reality is ladies sometimes communicate differently than men do. I've met many a lady who holds things in. And I also met some men who like to talk a lot too. But when it comes to our emotions, they like to share with one another. And men are sometimes different than ladies. So when the men share something with their wives, wives should keep that in confidence. And the same thing, you should be able to feel comfortable to share with your mate. Next one is the guardrail indignation. I'm talking about how sometimes things are going to become heated and sometimes things are going to become to the point where there's a problem and somehow the problem has to be dealt with. And if you look in your notes in your Bible where it says Ephesians chapter 4 verses 26 and 27, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. We talked a lot about that just a few weeks ago. So the next one is your, and it should be new in your blanks, at least as far as my notes are, is the guardrail of kindness. The guardrail of kindness. And just to remind you, our tongues are very powerful. And it's something that we can use to be an encouragement and uplifting, or we can rip people apart. I've seen people with their tongues be able to just take people apart. When I was younger, I used to, and I probably am still, a little smart aleck. I try not to be. If you talk to my mom, if you went back and you saw my family and you saw the type of kid I was, you'd be surprised. Sort of like when I go home and they say, you became a pastor or a preacher, they're surprised because one of the things I was good at, but shamefully, if I used to be very quick-witted and used to be very smart-aleck, used to try to do things to get people's reactions. And God helped me with that, and I am so thankful for that. And there is a change. When we talk about our communications, it's not something that should be just a continual rut. Even if you've been married for 40, 50 years, God's help, you can change the way you talk. Look at it. Is it biblical? Is it right? Is it Christ-like? Because God can make a change. And I can tell you for myself, there is a change that happened in my life. Am I all the way there yet? No. Do I need to change even more? I'm sure, in so many ways. One of the things we used to tell stories just to have fun. Stories weren't true. My son yesterday, we were talking about something where we were going to go, and he said, hey, we could go to Vermont like you did when you were a kid. I've never been to Vermont, but he listened to my brother tell the story that we went to Vermont and just, we never went on any vacations as a kid. And he said, what is that? It's just, we love to tell stories. What were they? They were lies. And I'm thankful that things have changed and how God's worked in my heart about how my speech can change. And I do sometimes get aggravated and sometimes I do get a little upset. But I think for most of the time, if I've ever been discourteous to you, that I've come and said, asked for forgiveness. And that's because God made a change to my heart. And one of the things I want to aspire to do is use my mouth as a guardrail for kindness. Look what it says in your Bible here. And I think we'll go ahead and read all of them again. I know we don't probably need to, but let's, just because it's so good, let's go ahead and start in verse number 16. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. This is one thing we got, when it comes to our communication, we're not supposed to be like everybody else. We're supposed to be different. And just because you hear somebody else talking that way to their wife or talking that way to their husband, or they use as a time to rip each other apart, that's not right. And that says we're supposed to be different. We're not supposed to walk as the other Gentiles. And it says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. And sometimes in our hearts and in our lives, the reality is we have not learned our speech from what God would have us to do. We learned our speech from people we look up to. We've learned our speech from our parents. We've learned our speech. But if you sit there and you watch the way that Christ spoke, remember, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And this is the goal. It's not to become like some preacher, to become like a parent, or become like someone we look up to. It's to become and conform into the image of his son. And sometimes when we use our mouths, that's one area that we feel like I've always talked like that. That's all. What have we learned from Christ? It's so that you have heard of him and have been taught by him, as truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the way you used to live. The old man, it means take off those things you used to, which is corrupt, according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. And then he begins to talk about our speech. Wherefore, put away from lying. Once again, that's the guardrail of truth. Speaking every man truth with his neighbor. Well, that's the neighbor. We wouldn't lie to other people. Why would we lie to our spouse? For we are members one of another. And this is be angry and sin not. That's the guardrail of indignation. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. You're giving place to the devil when you harbor bitterness in your heart and anger. Let him that steals steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Then it says in verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. So the thought here is we should not allow things that are corrupt come out of our mouths. We'll keep on reading. We'll come back to that. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I love that part of the verse. That we can use our mouth to edify one another and that we can actually minister God's unmerited favor to those that are listening to us. Let's keep on going. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I'm not saying all marriages are like this, but I know that many times we're patient with everybody else, but when we get home, we're so used to it, so normal, we're not kind, we're not patient. Even with our kids, sometimes we'll be Christ-like because we know everybody else, but when you go home, they see the true you. And I am thankful for people who I can hear and listen to their kids. And I remember hearing a guy who got up, he was a big guy, he was about 6'2", 6'3", his name was Paul, talking about his dad. And he wasn't really spiritually minded. His dad was on staff at the church where I was at, and Paul was pretty close to my age, a few years younger than me. He got up and gave a testimony by his dad up there because they were honoring his dad for something. I'm thinking, why in the world would they let him talk? I mean, he not really spiritually minded at all, and he got up there and only said really one thing. He says, what you see about my dad is here at church is the same thing I see at home. He says, whether the way he talks, and once again, he wasn't the greatest preacher in the world, but he loved the Bible. He says, the Bible he talks about with you is the Bible he tries to talk about with me. And he just said, the way he treats you is the same way he treats me. And I thought that testimony was great. I didn't think a guy would have anything that was going to be productive. And that stayed with me. And that guy now is a deacon in a church somewhere and, you know, has a little bit more spiritual backbone or spiritual character. But when he said that, I was thinking, man, that's something I would like to hear my kids say. And that's, you know, that he's the same all the time. So I'm encouraging with our speech. Let's make sure we're like that all the time. Have you ever stepped back and listened to yourself and thought, wow, that sounded harsh? I've done that before. You guess you're saying something comes out and you're like, man, did I really just say that? Did I say it that way? That's not the way I feel. But that's the way that comes out. And I suppose probably all of us have, and we show those courtesies to strangers, but in our dearest relationships, particularly with our marriage, there's a kind speech that should be available. I know many of you like sports. I remember when I was preaching 10 years ago, I looked around the room. Nobody really cared about sports. My sports illustrations never really worked. But I know some of you actually. But they have rules. They have boundaries in sports. You know, if you're there and you're playing basketball or volleyball or if you're playing football, if you don't have the inbounds or the outbounds, you don't have lines that you have to play by or soccer, it would ruin the whole game. It would be mass chaos. So when it comes to this idea of the guardrail of kindness, the way that this guy has written it is he has put up four different things that should be out of bounds when it comes to our communications. Four different things that should be out of bounds. They're simple rules for communication to help make your marriage communication work. Just like you need the inbounds and out of bounds for sports or for a field, you need the same type of things. You need to set guidelines. You need to come to certain rules that you adopt in your house through prayer. These are some suggestions. You make your own suggestions, you know, but there are some things that you should not just talk about. One of those things is never threaten with divorce. Never threaten with divorce. And, you know, don't use that word. Because if you're two Christians that are married together, headed to the same spot, you're supposed to be glorifying God, don't ever cross that threshold. Now, if you ever have, then get with your husband and your wife and pray together. You say, well, I can't really pray with my husband or wife. That's a big red flag there. You should be able to communicate and you should be able to talk. And once again, I make it sound so easy, make it sound like I've done it my whole entire life. And that's just not true. I haven't. And I mean, I know me and my wife, we had devotions last night and we prayed together, but it hasn't always been like that. And no, I don't think we have ever used that idea of threatening with divorce, but usually when a person's threatening with divorce, they're trying to get the other person's attention. They're trying to get them to get to a spot where they want them to start changing. Don't ever cross that line. Don't ever use that spot. Put that as a boundary. Make that commitment. We're never going to use that because we know that's not God's will for our marriage. And because of that, and if you need to, then start with a fresh start. Go home and say to your husband or your wife, I'm sorry if I ever did that. And I don't want to ever do that again. Let's make a commitment together. We're going to work through these things and not going to use that. Another boundary that they had put, and once again, if you look at this, it says here, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. The next thing that they encourage you with is never argue in front of the kids. Never argue in front of the kids. I never used the word, to my knowledge, the word divorce inside of with my wife, but I can honestly say, I went too far, didn't I? I can honestly say there's been times when me and my wife has our discussions in front of kids. I don't think there's really ever been too many really all-out yelling, screaming things. But in front of our children, it's important. Sometimes people even drag their kids into the argument. They're arguing back and forth, and they say, hey, you come here. And they try to get the kid to defend them and things like that. You know, what you're doing there is you're hurting your child many times. I think one of the greatest things you can do for your child is to love your spouse. For them to see how they're going to love their spouse someday. My wife hates it when I say this, but sometimes she treats me the way her mom treats her dad. And her mom treats her dad very well in some ways. Other ways, I think it's a little quirky. And she says the same thing to me. The way my dad treats my mom, she can see that. You learn things. And yes, you can grow and you can learn from that, but never bring your child into that. If your child's inside the argument, many times they're going to feel like they're the ones that the argument's about. Many times a child is insecure. Sometimes they worry the disagreement is their own fault. Many times they think emotionally and they become distracted even in school. And sometimes they begin to think, is mom or dad going to get a divorce? Even though you would never ever think that, but there's no reason why you should have to argue in front of your kids is something that you can bring out. So that's a boundary. You need to say, hey, let's set this aside and let's make sure. Now, having a conversation with your kids, finding out the truth, that's one thing. But arguing in front of your kids can really be damaging to your kids. And make sure, even if you're going to have a discussion, there's important ways to do that. You should never attack personally. Never attack personally. What do you mean? There are certain ways of saying things to your mate that you would hope that they would change versus attacking them and calling them names. I don't know about you, but one of the things that happens in our house sometimes is I don't leave things as clean as my wife does. And so sometimes if there's certain things that I leave laying around, which isn't too bad, I don't think it's really that bad. It's much better than it was when I first got married. But there's certain things, you know, if she goes and says to me something like, you're a slob, you never do this and that, and cause, you know, that doesn't really work all that well. and once again, and there's a way to say, hey, you know, I'm really doing my best to keep the house clean and nice because I think that's what the Lord wants me to do. I think it's part of, could you help me with this? That's a lot nicer way. It's dealing with the issue more than attacking the person personally. Many times when a person tries to figure out that person's motives, and turns that into an action that makes it seem like you have a lack of character, there's a problem. What do you mean? If you turn around and, you know, as me as a husband, I think I try. There are some things I mess up or I leave wrong, and I, you know, sometimes I don't even realize. And in her mind, I'm just trying to make her work harder for her. You know, hey, it's her job. She's got to do that. So who cares? Those thoughts never enter my mind. But sometimes that's what we'll do is we'll say, that's the way they feel. And because they have that type of motivation or they feel that way, we attack them and we presume upon our spouse's motives. We attack them personally because we think they know what they're thinking. We think they know what they're saying. But in all reality, even though we've lived with them many years, we don't always know what they're trying to do. And so that's having an open, honest conversation is really key and important. Another thing is take breaks during tense moments. He said, take breaks during tense moments. Look at what the verse says there. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards. If you're having an intense moment, take the time to take a break for a second. I know some people say, well, count to 10. I don't know how special counting to 10 is. At the same time, the scripture says here, a fool will utter of all his mind. If you're angry and you're upset, and your anger is rising, many times we're going to act foolishly. We have not learned that from Christ. It even tells us here to be angry and sin not. Even the verses says down here, but you have not so learned of Christ. We're not supposed to act like the Gentiles. So what you need to do is take some time. Remember, she's your husband. He's your husband, or she's your wife. And instead of choosing to give out a piece of your mind, take a little slice of time and say, "Okay, pray about the things that are happening. Pray what's going on, and then have a conversation about it." Here's one important part. If you sometimes during a tense break or tense moment, you say, "Can we take a few minutes and come back and revisit this?" Sometimes some people will get shut up. They'll shut down. That's just as bad as the person that's yelling. Once again, it's a two-lane highway. If you're going to get inside a traffic jam and you're not going to go very far. You're not going to fix the issue unless somebody's willing to communicate. You've heard the schoolyard rhyme: "Sticks and stones may break my bones." What's the rest of it? Is that true? They hurt. You can heal up from a broken something or another, but words do truly hurt. And we got to remember this with our husbands and wives, that we should not tear one another down. We should encourage one another. And that's where your next guardrail is the guardrail at edification. And this is probably the spot that I think is the most important, because I think we miss this. Look at the end of verse number 29 again. That it may minister grace unto the hearers, that I can use my mouth as a way that is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. And some of us in our pride feel like, oh, I already do that. Everything I say and everything I do, everybody should just be happy that they've heard me. I know what's right, I know what's best, and I'm just going to talk. And when I talk, then guess what? Everybody's already got that figured out. That's not true. When you minister grace to the, if you use your mouth as a way to minister grace and use it as a way to edify others, that word edify gives the idea of building up. If you think of the word edifice, it's a building. And the word edify means actually to take someone and to build them up. Even in 1 Corinthians 8:1, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. So I want to encourage you today, remember, use our speech as a way to encourage and build up. As a pastor, I know some of you guys are thinking, man, you've heard a lot of things. I have heard a lot of things over the years. And normally, they're very encouraging things. Normally, they are things to try to encourage and edify. But there are certain people who on purpose will say something to a pastor, tempt them to try to get them to have a reaction, get them to say something that's off color, to get them to get upset or get angry. And, you know, they're not building up. They're not encouraging. And sometimes you got to talk to people. And sometimes there's truth that's got to be said. And sometimes there's confrontations that need to happen. But our normal speech should be something that's found, like in verse number 32, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Are we really like that in our marriage? Are we really kind to one another? Are we like Christ, and we're doing this for Christ's sake? Yes, it's nice when you have a good home and a nice one that's not a battle zone, but are we living our lives like this when it says, even as for God, for Christ's sake? What we do our things is for Christ's sake. Look what it says in verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. There are certain things that should not be in us. We should not be walking like the Gentiles, but that's what we hear a lot of clamoring, a lot of just moaning and begroaning and just complaining, and the anger and the evil speaking. It says, get that out of here. The evil speaking can be gossip. The evil speaking can be just tearing somebody down. It says, don't have any of that. Verse 30 says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Don't grieve him, but instead use your communicative skills in order to build up other people. Now, I've met people, and there have been people who are such an encouragement and a help to me, and they lift me up and they build me up. And I try to be like that for other people. I don't always do that. Sometimes you get around certain people, all you can say is negative things because that's all they talk about. Let's bring it into our own home, though. Do I really try to build my wife up? Do I really try to build my husband up? There's communication that happens. There's different things that different people respond to. Some people talk about words of affirmation, that when they hear how they're appreciated, they respond that way. And there's other people who enjoy quality conversation, and they hear some people, hey, that looks nice, or what you've done there looks good, or I enjoyed this, or I'm thankful for this. Those are all things that can build. That's building up, using your mouths as how to be kind. But do we do that with our husband and wives? Now, these are the challenges here. It can't just stay in the same rut. It can't just stay in the same traffic jam. It can't just stay the same way. It's just the way we've always done it. No, there's a Christ-like way of doing things. And when it comes to our communication, it says it right here. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Don't use that as an excuse and say, well, I know I'm not supposed to do that very often. No, it says none. And now there's an article, I think I might have mentioned it last time. It says that the wife, about men and women, it says women usually use 30,000 words a day. Men usually use 15,000 words a day. And you know, that's kind of, and the wives say it's because they have to tell the husband twice as many times to do something or remind him because they're never listening. The reality is, how are we using our words? Are we really trying to be what God has asked us to do in our marriage? Are we really trying to edify and build up? And you say, well, what is that? Well, that's what they give you a lot of notes here about different ways to build up according to Scripture. So building words give, and your next blank is building words will give instruction and wisdom. I know some people will say, well, that's what my wife needs, is some instruction. She needs some wisdom. That's what my husband needs. I'll definitely give him that. But look what the Scriptures say. Use your words with the hope that we're instructing and giving wisdom, not with a arrogance or pride that I know everything and you're stupid. Instead, build them up. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, but the froward tongue shall be cut out. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge of right, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips. I encourage you to take these notes home with you and be looking at over some of those things, and maybe taking one a week and say, am I using my mouth to give instruction and wisdom? Building words give direction. Building words give direction. I think probably one of the most frustrating things that happen in some types of homes and some type of families is really want to know what the other person wants. How many times is a discussion, hey, what do you want to eat today? And everybody, or where do you want to go eat? Well, I don't know. I don't care. I don't know. I don't care. But deep down inside, most people have an idea. They're like, yeah, I really like to go here, but I don't want to be pushy. Instruction, being honest with the other people. Proverbs 19:20, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise and not mayest be wise in the latter end. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart, so doth the spirit of a man's friend by hearty counsel. If you're going to build words as something that's going to give direction, you're not going to be keeping secrets. You're not going to have to have your husband or wife just kind of guessing which direction you want to go or what you want to do. Be honest. Be open. Talk. Speak. That's what couples are supposed to do. You're one flesh. Now, once again, the husband has, and we've gone over this about the husband's role versus the wife's role. They're just as important to God. And yes, there's a responsibility of being a leader and head for the husband, but in all reality, it means that you don't get to choose for yourself. You just choose what the Lord wants you to do and what's best. Building words praise the Lord. Building words praise the Lord. Psalms 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. When you're purposely sticking your husband or wife with some type of harsh word just because of the way they made you feel or because you feel, how is that praising God? If we will show our family that God's made a change in my life and God's made me different, and because of that, I'm going to be kind and I'm going to be sweet, I'm going to be kind, I'm going to be tenderhearted, I'm going to be forgiving, because that's the way Christ made me. That's showing forth the praises of God. If you would talk to my mom, she would tell you, I don't know what changed, but it was God that made a change in my life. And once again, I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I was really bad to begin with. I'm only just sort of bad now when it comes to things. And you know, God made such a change and a difference in his life that he's not the way he used to be. He's not agitating and aggravating and all those other things. It's because God makes the change in your life and you show forth the praise. And my mom said more than once to me in my life, she praises the Lord for the change that God's done. And they're proud and thankful for the changes God's made. That's, we show forth his praises with our lips. But how can we do that when we're grumbling, when we're complaining, when we're murmuring, when we are attacking our wives and when we're attacking our kids and when we're doing these things? We're not showing forth the praise. We're acting like what I said, that, you know, the Gentiles back in verse number 18, that we should be different. In verse 17, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles, even at your work. You know, go outside the marriage relationship at your work either. Also, building words are encouraging others. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. The right word said at the right time. And how many times has that helped us? Man, how many times had that been a blessing and encouragement? You got exactly what you needed. Just how did that person know what to say? God told them. It's when you're in tune with God. I probably haven't been doing that, have I? There it goes. When you're in tune with God, he'll give you the words to say. Look what it says in Isaiah 50:40, the next two verses down. The Lord God have given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. I love that. I know that's saying God gave me the right word to say at the right time to the person who needed it most. I want to be that person. How do I get to be that person? Is when I'm close to the Lord and I want to use my mouth as a way to be an encouragement and help. I don't need to hear praise. I don't need to hear silliness and frivolous this and that. I need somebody who's close to the Lord that can encourage that person. I mean, how many of us agree we don't really understand our mates? We think we do, but we don't always really, especially men don't understand exactly what ladies are going through many times. And that's why we need God to give us the word, the tongue of the learned. He's taught us. Go back a verse up to Proverbs 15:23. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth. A word spoken in due season. How good is it? I don't know how many times in my life I've been encouraged by somebody who just says simple words. Mr. Humbert, last week we were prayer partners, not yesterday, but the week before at the men's prayer meeting, and he said something to me. It had nothing to do with what was going on, what are you talking about, but it was something I needed to hear. And I said, Mr. Humbert, thank you for saying that. Had nothing to do about our prayer time, had nothing to do about anything else, but after we got done praying, he said something to me about a man who stays focused on God doesn't have time to be thinking about other things or frivolous things or something like that. And it was just something, you know, I had so many things running through my mind with Friend Day, Revival, all those other things, all that wasn't focused like I should have been. And I was thinking, you know, God told him to say that. I mean, that's what we want to be. We want to be an encouragement. We want to build each other up. Is when we're in his word, we spend time with him. We like to think that in our own flesh, in our own strength, we can accomplish so much. But the reality is we can't. Tonight, you're going to look at Jeremiah 17 and look at the difference between a man that's going according to the flesh or going according to God's word. And it's an interesting passage, and we're going to look at that for a little while. But that's what I want to be, is a person who is encouraging others, but not encouraging for wrong, not encouraging when they don't need to be encouraged to go that way. I want to be a person who encourages others and builds my wife up. But how do I do that? It's by being close to him. Next one, Building words are pleasant and appropriate. Pleasant and appropriate. And we kind of have to go through this quickly because time is almost up. If you look at Proverbs 16:24 in your notes, I hope you could take this home. It says, pleasant words are the honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Look above that, Proverbs 15:26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. Man, I want to have a pure heart because I want my words to be pleasant. And sometimes when the preaching needs to happen and sometimes it sounds like it may be harsh, truth is sometimes truth, and it's sometimes got to be said in a way that's going to be heard, but they should be pleasant words because it's truth and can help us change. Building words will also facilitate healing. Facilitate healing. I want to use our words and our tongue to be able to encourage healing that could be hurt. There could be marriages, even sitting now inside our church family, that are hurting, husbands that are hurting, or wives that are hurting, and there's no clue. There needs to be some healing that's done. And that's what we use our mouths. So you be truthful. Be careful with the indignation. Be careful when it comes to when we're edifying one another. Learn how to be kind. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Last but not least, building words bring security and truth. Bring security and truth. Have not I written to thee excellent things and counsels and knowledge, that I might make thee know certain of the words of truth, that thou mightest answer the words of truth to them that sent unto thee. I really truly believe in our mouths we are saying, I love you, or we're saying to our mates, I don't really care about you. What we're saying and how we say it, they know truth. They know what a Christian's supposed to do and what they're supposed to say. And when we're edifying one another and we're encouraging one another in the power of the Holy Spirit, and we see them building and encouraging them up, it means I love you. But when we take our time and just make their life miserable by stabbing or turning and just, you know, what's happening, we're saying, I don't really care how you feel. It's all about me in this marriage. We want to use our words, and I know what everybody would say, well, I know he loves me. I know she loves me. We've been together for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. Your words, they truly show you. I know some have only been together 5 years or 10 years, but our words, they truly show whether or not we truly love our mate. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for today. Bless the service to follow. Lord, I pray that the things were said this morning about communicating would begin conversations amongst our husbands and wives to be able to communicate. Now, it might be hard. It might be different. It has to be something that is learned. But even if there's not a mate that's willing, let Christ be showed praise through our speech that we want to be ones that are truthful and that we're kind and we want to edify one another. In Jesus' name. Amen.